On Wednesday, firefighter Brendan McDonough is the featured speaker at the annual gala for the Boise Metro Chamber of Commerce. He was the lone survivor of the Yarnell Fire in Arizona in 2013, when 19 members of a hotshot team were killed. His story was turned into a movie called Only the Brave, which is out this week. He spoke with Tom Michael about his experiences, including why he thinks firefighters deserve better wages.
I think the men and women that, you know, fight wildland fire deserve to be represented in a way that looks out for their best interest. And there's not too many people that can go work 2 weeks at a time, 16-hour plus shifts, carrying 45 pounds on their back, never putting that pack down, carrying chainsaws and tools in some of the most extreme temperature and terrain, and work all day.
I imagine your work took you to Idaho. Can you tell me what role that Boise plays? I mean, they are the home of the National Interagency Fire Center, which we call NIFCE here for short.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, Boise is the hub. That's where it all is. That's where the brain is. That's where some of the, you know, greatest firefighters have come from. That's where some of the best hotshot crews are, some of the most diverse hotshot crews. It carries such a weight in Boise for wildland firefighting. You know, we're talking about the National Interagency Fire Center. You know, there's only one of them. It's a really cool place.
We're talking to Brendan McDonough, the author of the book Granite Mountain. The stories of the Yarnell Fire are also the inspiration for a new film called Only the Brave. What did the film get right?
You know, the film does an amazing job of showing a transformation from in my life personally and within the crew itself, from becoming a Type 2 crew to a hotshot crew, and shedding light into how wildland firefighters fight fires and what their family goes through as well when they're home.
Other natural disasters, I mean, they're always unpredictable, but we track hurricanes. But wildfires, as we're learning in the California blazes, can change on a whim. In the book Granite Mountain, in the pivotal scene, your fellow brothers being caught in the green rather than in the black.
So when you're in the black, you're in an area that has already been burnt off, and it's pretty safe because it can't be burned off again. You know, when my brothers left the black and made their way towards their safety zone, they had an escape route in plan. So, and you had mentioned hurricanes and how we track them, and we track fires in a different way. Wildfires are the only natural disaster in my mind that we actually fight and that we try and combat.
There have been 9,000 firefighters battling the blazes in Napa and Sonoma counties. And what some people may not know is that wildland firefighters like you don't extinguish fires but contain them. What's the difference? What do you mean by containment?
You know, what wildland firefighters do is, you know, they use indirect and direct pieces of line. And when you're going direct, you're on the fire's edge trying to remove the fuel from the fire, so the fire that they're fighting right now. You know, using a lot of indirect line, which means you choose, you know, we like to call them ridges, roads, or rivers, and you build off that and you would set a back burn. The easiest way to describe it is we try and build a box around the fire.
This comes out in your book, but there's also something called a fire shelter, and you've called for improvements for these fire shelters. What are they?
Well, a fire shelter is one of the last effort tools if, you know, a firefighter is caught in a situation between their escape route and their safety zone and the fire. They can, you know, prepare a deployment site and use their fire shelters to hopefully let the fire pass over. As you had referenced, I'd called for better fire shelters, and NASA's actually working on some right now.
You know, back in your rookie year, which was 2011, this was a time in which you go from a self-described drug-dealing tweaker to a physically fit hotshot. Can you describe in detail how the drugs felt like they were still in your veins?
It was one of my first fires, just one of the most physically grueling days I had in the beginning. And it's very hard to describe, you know, but I'm looking back on it. It was kind of one of those moments of clarity. I knew who I was with, and I trusted them.
In the latter chapters of the book, you talk about, quote, the negative fame, which is a term regarding maybe survivor guilt, the tragedy of losing 19 friends. But you come to recognize that feeling of, I wish it was me, was also an expression of love for your brothers. What were your takeaways for us, the listeners, to know about this time?
My goal is just to try to make it relatable. So when people are reading this book, if you know, they were suffering from grief, loss, or trauma, that they could, you know, maybe be inspired to go see someone, to go talk to someone, to know that there is hope at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, a saving grace, and that they can release some of this pain that they feel and some of this guilt.
That's Brendan McDonough, the lone survivor of the Yarnell Fire, speaking with Tom Michael.